Hi there, I'm Ashley Selman, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast, Healthy is Happy. Our goal is to provide you with the latest health and fitness information so that you can be informed to make decisions to optimize your health and ultimately your happiness. Hey there, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast. This is Ashley Selman, and I'm here today. We're going to be talking about functional range conditioning, which is sort of a newer system that's come on the scene recently, at least new for me, and Brian's going to tell us a little more about it. But the great thing about it is really about getting longevity out of our joints by being able to really control our ranges of motion. So I'm excited to hear more about this. Brian Fox is joining us today. Hey, Brian, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Brian's been a coach for, gosh, over like 16 years now. He's been at Evolution for...
It'll be three this summer.
3 years, yeah.
Crazy.
That's great, crazy, time flies. He's got a background in functional range conditioning as well as functional range release, and he's got a background in exercise science. So Brian, tell us a little more about kind of what originally attracted you to this kind of functional range conditioning concept, and how did you get interested in it?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, my friend Caleb introduced us and introduced us to the system actually. And then when I was at the first FRC in San Francisco, I just kind of fell in love with the kind of the community around it and the people running it, and just immediately was like, I can use this in both the bodywork realm and the training realm. So it just was kind of a natural flow into it.
So it kind of naturally fit some of what you already believed in and were doing, or was it
a
new?
It just kind of solidified kind of like my mindset towards treating people and helping people, and it was just kind of like an aha moment where it's like you can really be creative with it, and everybody's different, so everybody gets a little different twist of it, and I think that's kind of fun because it's just different. And
yeah, so you can really so tell us a little more, like, what is it then? Tell us a little more about what really is functional range conditioning.
It's a scientific methodology to try to get better resilience out of the tissues and increase ranges of motion through controlling your joints better. And how I kind of describe with some of my clients is just kind of, I'll find something they kind of suck at, and we'll just kind of build off it from there and just try to make it better, and then give them some homework to do it. And then if that's a shoulder, if that's a hip or a back thing, then I don't know, that's what's kind of fun, because sometimes they might come in and have like a tweaky back, or they won't be able to raise their arm over their shoulder, and then it's, well, let's play with your shoulders a little bit without them really realizing, like, ugh, this is mobility or flexibility, like, I don't want to do that.
Right,
so
right.
It's easy to implement it into a regular program.
Okay.
Without them really...
So to give a visual, if someone's not heard of it or trying to grasp it, so let's say we're talking about the shoulder, mm-hmm. and you want to do some kind of functional range conditioning with someone, what would that sort of look like as an example?
I've been playing a lot with the Turkish getup recently, the last like month or two, just because everybody for some reason has asked me, like, can we do the Turkish getup? I'm like, okay, well, let's see what your shoulder looks like. Can you raise your arm above your head and get your arm parallel to your ear? Because that's a kind of a prerequisite to an overhead thing, any movement actually. And then if they can't, then we work off of that and get them to get their arm through a series of progressive ranges of motion so they can get their arm up by their head, and then give them a yoga block so they can really control and feel their shoulder being a shoulder, versus if I just give them a kettlebell, that kettlebell kind of loads them in the spot where they don't really have control, and so it puts their shoulder joint at risk for injury.
Mm-hmm.
So just being mitigating injury, and just being, it's slower and it takes patience and a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like once they understand, like, oh, okay, if I have a weight in my arm and I can't really control it, like, it could end up being a bad day for both of us. So,
and if you take that over and over and over again, which a lot of people do in, you know, different overhead exercises or different programs, CrossFit, things like that, on a shoulder that's not able to get up close to their ear, you're just crushing the joint.
Yeah, you're compensating somehow. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in your back, and then people will complain of back pain, and mm-hmm. then you might get more range of motion from your hip, and then you get hip pain, or, I mean, the list of dominoes goes mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. far. So
yeah. Well, so you mentioned earlier about, you mentioned flexibility and mobility. So mm-hmm. talk a little bit about what do you mean by those terms and what's really the difference between those terms, because I do think people get those oftentimes confused.
Yeah, flexibility is achieving a range of motion passively. So I always use like the splits as an example, or like the pigeon stretch. Any stretch where you can kind of lay into or use the floor or anything to get into that range of motion. So if, like I said, using the splits, and you can go into that split range of motion, and yeah, you can be there. But how I like to describe mobility with the same movement with the splits is like, if I were to take the floor away, could you hold that position? And a lot of people cannot. Or if you picture, so we call it regressive tissue, like, can you control the opposite tissues of what's being stretched underneath?
So the flexibility tends to use probably more gravity.
Yeah.
And the mobility is more your own strength getting to that range of motion.
Exactly. So mobility is strength plus flexibility, and just having neurological control over, like, can you pull yourself or put yourself in that position without the ground or someone flexing your hamstring or putting you in that range of motion?
And that really makes sense to me for the people that are sort of hypermobile, so we say, that the people mm-hmm. that we see, like, can really get into the splits very easily, but can they control it? I think that would be a big thing. But what about the people that are really inflexible, and how does this sort of mobility work help with that?
So you obviously have to progress, and it's not like this happens immediately kind of a system. It's a lot of input over a long period of time, because if you imagine, like, how long your hip or shoulder or back took to get stuck right there, mm-hmm. and it's not gonna, we don't have like a magic bean we can give you to get you out of that immediately. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of input, and a lot of people don't have control over that. So we work with the ranges you do have control over, and they will get better. So we use another thing called pails and rails, so which is just isometric loading both sides of the tissue to get you to really get control of the entire range of motion. So if you are going into a straddle or the splits, like, to push into the ground and then pull yourself away from the ground or whatever. I mean,
so that's what you mean by both sides. So the pushing down into the ground is sort of the yeah. one side, and then the lifting up. So you're getting the opposite sides of the joints contracting.
Correct. So you want to get control of that end range and strength at that end range. So then you can essentially ask your nervous system, can I go further? And if you can show that you have pressure and you have a little more juice left in the tank there, it will give you a little more range. And that's how we get better. So mm-hmm. whether you can barely touch your toes, or if you want to improve your split or back bend or whatever, there are ways to get it there. Mm-hmm. Safe ways. Mm-hmm. It's not just like pulling your legs apart with like a rope or anything.
Mm-hmm. I, you know, you said a couple different times that this isn't going to happen overnight, and it takes some time. And it reminds me of, I actually think mobility is going to become the new weight loss. You know, like 10 years ago, everyone's come to the gym to lose weight. And we all know that, one, it doesn't happen overnight, especially if you're doing it the right way. And it takes a combination of things. And now I feel like we're at a stage where people are just, certain groups of people, just working out so much and abusing their bodies, but are ignoring mobility and movement. And I think we're going to get to this place where people will start to realize that mobility is sort of the foundation of everything. And so maybe people will be a little more willing to take the time that it takes to kind of accomplish some of these improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, I mean, you touched on a couple things. So, I mean, it's not sexy to sit there and do the isometric loading or like the ranges of motion. Everybody wants to do the Turkish getup. They want to do a squat. They want to do a bench press, a kettlebell swing, what have you. But they don't realize, like, oh, my shoulder doesn't go over my head, or I have this super round spine, or mm-hmm. I can't rotate, or I can't touch my toes, or whatever the case may be. And there's this, like, in order to do X, Y, or Z, you have to have a foundational thing to build a house on. And that house might be the getup or a squat. And mm-hmm. you might have this beautiful house, but your foundation is made of duct tape and baling wire, and it can just crumble at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people hopefully will start to realize is mm-hmm. even though it's not sexy and it's you're not really doing the things you want to do. And I describe it to my clients, I'm like, it's kind of like I'm just giving you the Karate Kid approach. Like, I'm teaching you to move your shoulder in this way, and all of a sudden you'll be able to like punch and block. So just because you're finally getting your shoulder over your head, and then it's like, great, here's a load, and now you can see what that's like, and all of a sudden you know karate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun in that regard when people see that light bulb and they're like, oh, mm-hmm. you weren't lying to me.
Definitely. Well, as a trainer, you know, people are always coming in with certain sets of goals or things that they want to do. And then as us being the experts or the ones with the knowledge, and we know like, ooh, what they want to do is probably not what's good for them right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that is one of the hardest things we do is getting the buy-in and really telling them how we understand what they want to do, but there's some things that have to come first. So how do you approach that with your clients?
The last couple weeks, like I've noticed like meeting with new people and they're like, oh, I want to get back in the gym. I haven't worked out since like the 80s or whatever. or I just had a baby and the FRC system is very nice because like I said, it's kind of a duh moment for not only me, but when I say like, when I explain it to, the new person or a person, like it makes sense to say like, if you can't raise your arm over your head, why would I give you something that forces you there and you really deep down don't have control over that?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I show them like in the mirror, I'm like, see what happens when you think you get your shoulder over here, your whole back extends mm-hmm. and that becomes a fake shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why you have low back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when people see that and I physically like turn them in the mirror and be like, look, and like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And that I feel like it's not necessarily like I'm convincing them of anything. I'm showing them the value of what I do. And it kind of gives them a better place to be like, okay, this makes sense. And then we kind of go from there,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
And you mentioned it not being sexy because it's not the end goal. But I mean, what's sexier than being healthy and like feeling good for the rest of your life, you know? So I think if people can really buy into that purpose and that benefit, that, you know, you have people a lot more interested in sticking with it.
Yeah, it's been fun to see people like appreciate the movement that we gain, or like they don't have back pain anymore, or they go to a yoga class and realize like, oh, I'm not gonna do position XYZ because it hurts my back and I know I don't have control over that position. So when someone comes to me and they say, I can't do the tree pose because my hip doesn't do that, thank you for saving my back. I'm like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Check that box.
That's great. And that's what my next question was going to be, like, what have been some of your wins or some of your success stories from clients? So that's one maybe that you just gave an example, but what are some other things you're hearing from clients that really have stuck with this for a while?
So yeah, my client just started yoga and he mentioned like the cat camel, and he's doesn't have back pain and used to get excruciating back pain because he would wrench into these positions because he thought he had to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if you don't have control over something, or if something hurts, don't do it. Like, if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, it hurts when I do this, great, stop doing it. And I think that's what people don't realize is like they have to work through these pains. And I feel like that's like a big duh or a light bulb goes off. And I think that's really flattering to when people realize themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't have to listen to a yoga teacher say, grab the ankle and pull it up to your groin so you can get into tree pose. And if their person's like, oh, I realize like my hip doesn't work that well, or I can feel my hip, or I can feel my back compensating. The fact that that person and I have gained that knowledge and helped them gain that knowledge over for themselves is like what I eventually want. What mm-hmm. we all want is for them to like make these conscious decisions for themselves to be like, this probably isn't the best idea.
Because then they can take ownership over their own health and yeah, be knowledgeable to know what is right for them and what's not. And that's huge.
Yeah, and I feel like in our industry, like, people get stuck with us. They feel like they can't do anything without us. Mm. I mean, yeah, that's great. but at the same time, it's like, well, you should be an individual, and mm-hmm. we want you to do this. And like, I have clients who are like, oh, what should my goals be this year? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not you. What do you want to do? Like, do you want to climb Everest? Do you want to, I don't know, I can help you find things, but I don't want to make a goal for you because it's not your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then another example is I have a snow skier who she skis like 4 or 5 days a week. And I mean, she's a beast. And she came to me originally for like this calf strain that she had, and putting her through an assessment and testing her other joints. She has like no knee rotation, and she gets all of her rotation from her ankle. And so when she got put into that position, her calf got like a level two strain. And then showing her how she has very little control of certain ranges of her ankle, and then like zero control of her knee, because it only flexes and extends. People don't realize that it also rotates.
Mm-hmm.
And showing her that, and she's like, oh my God. And then putting her in like a, we call it a wall banger, but it basically looks like her on the edge of a ski making a turn, and she has very little control over that, like on ground.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to be like, oh my God, look where, and showing her where she compensates by cranking on her ankle and her knee, and just showing how her whole body shifts and she can't really load it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you strap yourself into a huge boot that doesn't really move well. And again, you're asking for a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that bad day. Could have been way worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, and those are like a few good examples recently where I'm like, ugh, thank God.
Where people are getting it.
Yeah, like, and people appreciate it, mm-hmm. I think. And mm-hmm. It's something different, and it's, yeah, just kind of fun to be creative and work with
mm-hmm.
a middle-aged yogi and like an intense type A kooky ski bum. So, I mean, it's really fun to kind of use the same system for a wide range of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah,
well, it makes it. And I do think, you know, I've only been exposed to this system recently, mostly through you. And mm-hmm. I think what I appreciate about it is my belief is mobility is such the limiter of most people, especially in our sedentary world, right? And so I think most traditional sort of exercise or fitness programs don't really address not only the ability to get into those mobilities, but the neural or the motor control aspect, which mm-hmm. I think is really big, where it's like you're getting your nervous system to really connect into those ranges, which I think gets ignored a lot.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you lose people too, is they're like, whoa, you said like nervous system. Or for like the layman, like they don't want to hear that, or they don't know what that is. So again, you kind of like push them away with that, and you kind of have to draw them back in and like show them what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, like the light bulb when they're like, I don't feel what you're talking about, because they don't have that neural connection. Like, you can mm-hmm. look at your toes and try to raise one at a time, and it's like I just gave you the square root of something.
Mm-hmm.
And because they just have no clue how to like lift their toes, because
mm-hmm.
they're wedged into a 5-inch heel or dress shoes or a ski boot. Like,
mm-hmm.
no one ever thinks to like wiggle their piggies mm-hmm. and like get control of that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the non-sexy things where if I gave someone his homework and be like, hey, go home, move your toes for 5 minutes, they'd be like, you're out of your mind. But in reality, it's like, it's so obvious, because when you realize you can't move your toes, you're like, oh, damn it. Mm-hmm. He was right. And yeah, the mobility thing is catching on, and I feel like it's just not explained like the way FRC explains it. So you hear the word mobility, but it doesn't come with like the best definition.
Mm-hmm.
Or a simple definition like flexibility plus strength equals neurological control.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think that's a big thing for this system.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think when most people think of mobility, especially for the people that are on the tight side of the scale, mm-hmm. when they think of mobility, they think of, I need to do some stretching. They usually think of the passive stretching to gain mobility. I think that the strength part is not as big a part of the equation. And so I think that's a really great point that FRC brings to that equation. It's like, that's equally as important.
Yeah, and there's so many layers to it too. And that's why it takes a long time with people, because especially, and I have the advantage of being a manual practitioner and like getting to put my hands on people and actually feeling things. So like when we worked with your shoulder, we talked a lot about like neurological tension. Mm-hmm. So if I stretch that, it's not going to do anything. So people might already kind of be disbanded, like, oh my God, I stretch every day and nothing gets any quote unquote looser. And it might be, there might be underlying neurological tension where that stuff is just so ramped up neurologically that it's protecting something like a shoulder joint or a neck or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if someone doesn't realize that or see a professional to be like, oh, this is neurologically tight, we have to work with your nervous system to get this to tone down, and then we can kind of go from there. So a lot of people like crank into it and they get like super discouraged because it either gets worse or stays completely still. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big advantage that the system has as well, is it covers the nervous system, which is a huge player in the game, obviously. Mm-hmm. So.
For sure. Well, I know you're a wealth of knowledge in this, and I'm excited to learn more about it. And I know we're having a workshop coming up at Evolution on June 17th. And you're going to be going through not only the philosophy behind what we're talking about today, but also go through some of the actual drills and exercises and programs to work through functional range conditioning.
Is that correct?
Yeah, great.
looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that too. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon. Right, thanks, on. Everybody.